All right, so I got another life pro tip, or life hack, if you will. So you know how your recycling bin and your garbage can, they're both provided by the city in most cases, and pretty uniform across the board. So I figured out that when bringing the trash in the afternoon after the pickup, you can stack the recycling bin inside of the trash can, and how the diameter of the trash can decreases, it holds it there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a total time saver. But this is not a public sanitation podcast or a TED Talk. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Travrick.
It was so obvious, and I did not even think of it. That's great. And I will be your host, and I'm joined, as always here in the shop, by my co-host and co-producer. Support your local Sean, or shoot out at Meta Sean Bend. Which one do you like better?
I like the second one.
All right, second one better. AKA the Brew Boss. Thank you for doing what you do, sir.
Yes.
In addition, we have no other guests, but if Hillary had made it today, her name would have been A Man Could Get Hilled. A Man Could Get Hilled. And further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts, also known as actors who are at the height of their powers. And quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of the remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture that currently is ongoing in cinema and movies today. We're actually doing this more as an exercise in irony, satire, and we try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
All right. So with that, we'll go into our first mini segment, which is going to be the movie news. So this is where the two of us, throughout the week, in our spare time...
Copious amounts of spare time.
We scour the internet, and we try to rake together some news stories that we feel are relevant to this podcast and the world of cinema in general. And so we've got a few. The first one that I will mention is that the Avengers Endgame runtime... I think that should probably just be the subtitle of it. Avengers Endgame Runtime has been confirmed by the producers of that movie at 181 minutes.
Jesus.
So we're clocking in at 3 hours and 1 minute. I think technically it's 3 hours and 59 seconds, but who's
I'm fine with the time if they were to put an intermission in the film.
Maybe it includes an overture.
I don't know. It'd be great if it did.
A prologue.
I know some people that are excited about the runtime. Mm-hmm. I, for one, am not.
That's a long haul. Also, AMC theaters are doing this thing where you can watch all of the Avengers / interrelated MCU movies in a row.
Okay.
It's like 96 hours or something like that.
Those are crazy.
And so... that is not something we have copious amounts of spare time for. But in our next item of movie news, we've got Mark Hamill is signed on to be the voice of Chucky in the new Child's Play or Chucky reboot. What do you think about that?
Well, we're not fans of the reboot culture.
Right.
But if you're going to do it, why not pick a guy that can really hit it out of the park with the
voice? Of course, he's done the voice work for the Joker in tons of stuff, mostly the animated things and the Lego stuff, which is interesting. It's kind of related to our next item of movie news. But Mark Hamill, he's on a win streak right now, in my opinion.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, so speaking of the Joker, the teaser trailer, they called it a teaser, but it's over 2 minutes long, for the new The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix just dropped the other day, and we both saw it. What did you think about it?
I'm excited about it. I didn't know what they were going to try to do, but if the trailer is to be believed, it looks like a a story about a city that beats the shit out of a hard luck guy.
Yeah.
And he just snaps. And I'm really curious to see how that how it plays out.
It seemed to me that it is going to add a much more humanist element to it.
Agreed, yeah.
A lot more personal than some of the representations we've seen in the past. Not knocking Heath Ledger or Jack Nicholson, maybe knocking Jared Leto a little bit. But that should be very interesting to check out. And then the last one, the last item of Moody Movie News.
It's kind of moody news.
Is that Adrienne Barbeau, an original Scream Queen, is going to be on Shudder's new reboot of Creepshow. So tell us about Creepshow.
Well, Creepshow was a lot of fun back in the early 80s. It was an anthology movie.
Akin to like a Tales from the Crypt.
Very much so. And they took a lot of Stephen King stories and kind of fit them together. I think there were two of them, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
And Adrienne was in the first one, and she's signed on to be in this new reboot. And I glanced at some of the stories that they're going to be doing, and I don't think there are some Stephen King stories that have been committed to film or television.
Interesting.
Or video. So yeah, it's kind of neat that that she's kind of staying in the bloodline, if you will, of the Creepshow franchise.
I'm pretty sure that previous topic, Steve Buscemi, one of his first movies was the original Creepshow.
Cool.
All right, so that will wrap us up on movie news for this week. If you, Chop Shoppers, hear about anything that you'd like to bring to our attention, feel free to hit us up on any of our social media or, you know, our email address. All right, so now it's time to get into whatever our next segment is. Oh, wait, there's the phone. I hear it ringing, so it must be Chief Dana with the Department of Corrections Department.
Hey, Choppers. I listened, and I couldn't come up with anything. Couldn't come up with any corrections or clarifications. So I guess you guys get some extra time in the yard this week. In the words of Dave Chappelle as Rick James, enjoy yourself. See ya.
All right, Dana. Well, you know, considering the fact that we're here on the Chain Gang and you weren't able to find anything wrong with what we said, I know I say some shit that's wrong on a weekly basis. So that kind of seems like a dereliction of duty. But we'll take the free time in the yard. By all means, we will take it.
See, here I was going to say that the system works and we're getting reformed. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you feel rehabilitated? All right. So with that, we're going to go ahead and go into the theme of the episode. In celebration of what would have been his 91st birthday on this April 7th, the films of James Garner. Films of James Garner. So how do we feel about him? Does he qualify as an iconic actor?
I consider him an iconic actor for television.
Okay.
I know
for
that
Rockford Files and Maverick.
Yeah, I know that he did a lot of film, but I personally am not familiar with a lot of his roles.
Okay.
But more so on the TV end of things, absolutely.
Gotcha. Very cool. And I think that he does, and I think you mentioned this in one of your reviews, he does have a certain element of charm. Not necessarily your classic leading man.
Right.
But there is a certain charming quality to him. All right. So next up, we're going to go into our next mini segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. And this is where you and I each pick two films that are within the oeuvre of James Garner and James Garner films, the films that have garnered him the most praise.
Hey, I see what you did there.
And we talk about why they are related to each other and why they would warrant being shown back to back in a public setting. All right. So would you like to go first with yours? Because I have no idea what you picked.
Okay. Yeah, I can go first. This is a very, you would almost call this the far end of his movie spectrum. He didn't do a lot of science fiction.
Mm.
So I'm picking out some of his sci-fi
interesting okay.
films. Number one is 1993's Fire in the Sky.
Oh, I love Fire in the Sky, dude. D.B. Sweeney.
D.B. Sweeney. Yes. And Ethan Hawke and Robert Patrick.
I forgot that either of those people were in it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, and then
also the main character in Fire in the Sky, I'm pretty sure his name is Travis.
And Henry Thomas, of course, is in it as well.
Okay.
Did I say Ethan Hawke?
You said Ethan Hawke.
I don't think that's right.
I didn't think he was in that, but I also didn't think he was.
It's a guy who looks. It's a guy who looks a lot like Ethan Hawke, but okay. he's not. And there's a guy in it.
Is it Skeet Ulrich?
No, I think it's Peter Berg. Hmm. Craig Sheffer looks just like David Boreanaz. I was watching that going, that's David Boreanaz, right? Anyway, Fire in the Sky, the quote-unquote true story about some guys who get, one guy who gets abducted by aliens and his friends who try to make their account credible. They get accused of murder or kidnapping until their friend finally comes
shows back up.
And James Garner stars as the lawman.
Okay.
He's the lawman who comes from outside their small town. So he's kind of almost like, it's like when an FBI agent
like
shows
up. Like an impartial.
Yeah. He wasn't so brash as, I'm taking over this investigation, mm-hmm. but they did defer to him because he was the more experienced lawman.
And not as close to the situation as the rest of these small-town people.
Now, he does rock a mean bolo in this movie.
Oh, yeah, you got to. Oh,
boy, he sure does. But
I used to rock a bolo tie when I lived in New Mexico.
I did back in the late 80s once or twice.
There you go.
Yeah, you used to buy them at Chess King.
Okay.
Nice store for bolo ties back then. Anyway, So he was obviously skeptical, but you kind of get the feeling that he was coming around to their way of thinking by the end of the film, that this really did happen the way they said it did.
Nice.
And I'm following that up with 2000's Space Cowboys.
Oh God, Space Cowboys. All right, remind me who the. Aforementioned cowboys are besides James Garner.
Well, first of all, it's directed by Clint Eastwood.
Great.
Starring Clint Eastwood.
Get off my planet.
Yeah, what did I call it? My review, the Get Off My Lawn sci-fi edition.
Nice.
This is Tommy Lee Jones and Donald Sutherland.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And James Garner, of course, playing a bunch of Air Force guys who were in line to be astronauts to get on the moon or whatever. And because of Clint Eastwood's mouth and his disrespect for authority and not playing along, they didn't get their chance. But he built a navigation system that was used by some Soviets, and he didn't realize that at the time that the Soviets were using it, but it was hurtling towards Earth, and him being the only person who could really figure it out, because it's practically an analog nav system.
Okay.
The only condition that he presents is that me and the original crew, we get to be the ones to fly up there.
They get to go up. Yeah.
Yeah. So they finally get to fulfill the promise that Clint made to them that they were going to go into outer space. Besides those guys,
this is the prequel to Cowboys versus Aliens, correct?
Right. James Cromwell's in it. He plays the curmudgeonly supervisor guy who...
I think that James Cromwell was born a curmudgeon.
Yeah, and Marcia Gay Harden's in it. She's quite good. It's okay. Not a great movie, I don't think. But as I get older, I find myself warming up to these type of films.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not too far off how old these guys were at the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the two James Garner sci-fi flicks that I was able to pull together.
I like it. Okay, so my two features, my double feature, is a little bit more on the nose. The titles are very similar. The plots are very similar. The actors, the casts are very similar. And it has the same director. Even their scores on Rotten Tomatoes are very similar.
Oh.
First up, we've got Support Your Local Sheriff. From 1969, directed by Burt Kennedy, and it's got a 69% on Rotten Tomatoes. It stars James Garner, Joan Hackett, and Jack Elam. And it's basically the story of a gold rush that erupts in a small Colorado town, and it attracts a crime wave to the small town. And then Gunslinger... played by James Garner, wanders into town and becomes the de facto lawman.
Because he's
very clever, but also very laid back. And he just kind of plays the situation to his benefit, eventually coming into conflict with the dangerous Danby gang. All right.
I can see him playing that role. Having not seen this film, you've painted a picture for me.
The second one is called Support Your Local Gunfighter from 1971, also directed by Burt Kennedy.
Is this a sequel?
It's technically not a sequel.
Okay.
It has very similar themes, a comedic Western. It's got a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. It stars James Garner, previous recast Suzanne Plachette, and also Jack Elam.
Oh, yeah.
And in this case, a traveling con man named Latigo Smith drifts into a small Western town and decides to pit rival gold mining factions against each other.
Okay.
So that's going to be my midnight double feature of James Garner movies, where he's basically playing the same character. Different names. Yeah. All the characters have different names.
Now is Gunfighter before Maverick?
Support Your Local Gunfighter is 1971.
It's pretty close.
Pretty close.
I could see how this would have been like a nice lead-in for the Hollywood execs to say, you know, we could put him in our TV show doing this.
Yeah. Maverick.
It definitely seems like...
Tom Cruise. All right, so that will do it for the Midnight Double feature, right?
Sure, why not?
All right, so with that, we're going to go ahead and get into our first feature segment, which is the recast. And this is where we take a pre-selected film, hopefully usually pre-watched film, within the filmography of James Garner. It's not James Garner every week, but this week it's James Garner. And we hypothetically recast a few of the lead roles. In this case, it's going to be Murphy's Romance from 1985.
Oof.
It was directed by Martin Ritt, who's had some pretty big movies. He directed HUD.
Okay.
With Paul Newman. Also a movie called The Black Orchid and The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. Murphy's Romance is the story of a single mom who moves to a small town to train and board horses to make a living. And while there, she becomes friends with the town pharmacist named Murphy, played by James Garner.
Yeah.
And he's quite a bit older than her, although it's not specified how much older until the end of the movie. And they kind of develop at first a friendship, but somewhat bordering on a romantic relationship as the film progresses. I should mention that the female lead, her name is Emma Moriarty. She's played by Sally Field. And then we've got the son, played by Corey Haim, and his name was Jake.
Correct.
All right, and now, Sean, you had some qualms.
Oh, God, this movie. This movie was awful. This was like a Hallmark movie without... The Hallmark.
It had all the hallmarks of a great movie.
But no, it just there was no real romance. It was like, okay. I mean, if you want to call it a slow burn, this is a slow burn.
Yeah,
I think the townspeople had more romance in their imaginations of what was going on with the two of them than what was actually happening.
Well, maybe that's the idea. Maybe it's about rumors that persist despite, you know, the actuality.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have got the no good ex-husband who's kind of shacking up and trying to...
He comes back to town and needs a place to stay. And she lets him in because she sees glimpses of the man that she once loved. Yeah. But also she wants a father figure for her son, preferably his biological father.
I mean, let's talk about some of the exciting things that happen in this film. The four of them go to a movie,
mm-hmm.
and James Garner doesn't like the horror film.
Okay.
So he, Sally Field, and Corey Haim leave the ex-husband at the movie to go to a bingo parlor. That's exciting filmmaking, folks.
Is it a spoiler to say what happens with the husband?
I don't know.
I think I'm going to do it.
Go ahead.
All right. So about... 3/4 of the way through the movie, into the third act, we'll say, The husband and, or the ex-husband and Emma come home to find his girlfriend there with his other kids.
Right.
Basically, his second family has showed up. And so that kind of seals the deal.
It seals his fate for sure.
Right. All right. So let's go ahead and recast this thing.
Yeah, let's.
First up, we've got James Garner playing Murphy Jones. He was 56 at the time. And I want to do... Oh, I also wanted to say that this is where I learned what etched glass is. Because, you know, he has that immaculate old antique car.
Mm-hmm.
And the windows have etched glass in them. And it was the first time I'd ever, like, registered that that was a thing. And I asked my parents, I was like, what's up with his windows? And they're like, well, that's etched glass. And so it just blew my mind. All right, so... Murphy Jones, played by James Garner. He was 56 at the time. I want to go first because this one is, I think, phenomenal. My actor was in Jaws 3D. He was also in The Big Easy. And he was in the made-for-TV movie The Alamo from 1960. James Garner has always had kind of a Reagan-esque quality to me.
Okay.
Ronald Reagan, that is.
Yeah.
And this actor is going to play Ronald Reagan in an upcoming biopic. His name is Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid is going to be my Murphy Jones.
I can see that. I can see that. This, you know, this movie tried to play upon Garner's ability to be comedic.
Uh-huh.
There were some lighthearted moments, but I wouldn't call them funny. So I went with an actor who can definitely do some comedy. He's around the same age. Garner was 57. I think my guy is 58.
I've got 56 for James Garner, but close give enough. Or take.
Yeah. He was in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
Okay.
He was in the movie 42.
42. Okay.
He was in Man of Steel.
Yes.
But he's been in some other things that you'll know. Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay.
How about Law and Order Special Victims Unit? Christopher Maloney.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I recast him in a Robert Duvall role in The Natural for our baseball movies episode.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
You know, he's in that that new series, Happy.
Okay.
Where he sees the he hallucinates that horse unicorn thing.
Oh, no, I don't know.
You don't know about this? So, yeah, interesting. It's a thing. It's real.
All right. Next up, we've got the role of Emma Moriarty, the single mother who is just trying to make ends meet and raise her kid. And she was played by Sally Field, who was 39 at the time. And we'll keep the order going.
Sure.
This one, then we'll switch it up for the next one.
That works.
Since it's just the two of us, I shouldn't get
too
confused.
We can probably keep up with this. Yeah.
All right. So my actress. Is 40 now. She's a year older than Sally Field was. She's been in Jack and Jill. She's also in a 90s teen thriller called Disturbing Behavior. And she was also in Teaching Mrs. Tingle. Her name is Katie Holmes.
No. Oh.
Katie Holmes, I think, is rapidly becoming Sally Field.
She wishes.
She wishes.
Yeah.
So does Jamie Foxx.
Uh-huh. Good pick. I like that one.
Thank you.
I didn't even consider her, and she's a good pick. Let's see. Sally Field was, what, 39?
39 at the time.
So my actress will surprise you. She's turning 39 this year.
Ah.
She's a bit of an America's sweetheart as well.
Okay.
She was in... she does a voice on the TV show Big Mouth.
Okay.
She has been in, the Disney film Frozen. She was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yes, yes, yes. Is it Veronica Mars?
It is Kristen Bell.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
And this was a suggestion for my lovely wife, Allie.
Very good. Very good. I think that last time Allie was on, I referred to her as Sarah Marshall, and she was like, what? No, it's Kristen Bell. All right, so next up, we've got Corey Haim, rest in peace. He was only 14 at the time
Yep.
in this, so we're talking like Lucas era.
Mm-hmm.
and also some other stuff. He plays Jake. He's a kid. Doesn't really play that big of a part in the movie. He wants his dad back, but also is kind of intrigued by Murphy's, you know, his charm and his kind of fatherliness. I do like the scene where they pick up the old man and he's sitting in the back seat and he's like, "You're driving too fast." And so they're kind of juxtaposing the age difference between James Garner and yes. Sally Field, but also the age difference between James Garner and this older man. And so he says, we're going 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
He says, "That's too damn fast." And he gets out and they leave him. All right. So anyway, Corey Haim, 14 at the time, playing Jake. I've got an actor who was in Sinister 2, and he's also in a movie called Hick. His name is D'Artagnan Sloan.
D'Artagnan Sloan?
D'Artagnan Sloan.
Were his parents like Dungeons and Dragons?
I think that Dungeon Masters? Maybe they were big Alexander Dumas fans.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. Great name.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just kind of a generic white kid.
Okay, well, I really like my pick.
Okay.
He's 14 years old. And there's a bit of a face value on this.
Nice.
But at the same time, he was born in Dallas, Texas, and he's got some cowboy in him as okay. well. So I think that he hits both of these for us. He was in the TV series Chicken Girls. It was a movie, Chicken Girls.
Chicken Girls?
I don't know these kids' shows. But he's in Sneaky Pete as young Taylor.
With Giovanni Ribisi?
Yes. His name is Hayden Summerall. Hayden Summerall.
Okay.
And I'll pass my visual aid over to you, and you can look at some of the smaller photos, and you'll see that he's got a Corey Haim quality
definitely
about him.
He definitely has a Corey Haim thing. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right, what else do we need to say about Murphy's Romance?
I don't know what to say.
So this is, again, one of those cases where I saw it as a kid, and it was kind of like a family favorite.
Yeah.
I've probably seen it more than once.
Uh-huh.
And so the nostalgia factor is in effect.
Yeah.
But upon rewatching it, I can see that some of your concerns
have merit. It was very tedious,
merit.
Right? Yes. Did you not find it to be yes. extremely tedious?
All right. Well, with that, we're going to head into intermission. But before we do, we're going to say, let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a deck of playing cards.
Oh, good pick.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under
reviewed. Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it. And multiply
a podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
And we're back. Thank you, Chop Shoppers, for bearing with us during the intermission. We had to work out some logistics, but we are back in effect now. And when we come back from intermission, what do we like to do?
Well, we like to do our beer check-in.
And we have an on-theme beer,
it's
an right?
On-theme beer.
What is it?
A late entry. It's from Fonta Flora Brewing in Morganton, my lovely wife, Allie. Made a trip up there last weekend and brought back some goodies. So this one is called Lake James Life. It's lager beer.
Okay.
Smooth,
Lake
easy.
James. Okay,
Lake
I get it.
James, as in James Garner, father of Jennifer Garner.
Interesting you say that.
He's not.
He's not.
He's not.
But it is interesting you say that. So speaking of bringing beer from places, we'll go ahead and say next week's episode is the James Cameron episode because it's the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic.
Yes.
And friend of the show, previous guest, The Googe, will be back on. And he messaged me today wanting to know if we want him to bring any Colorado beer.
Yes.
For beer check-in.
Okay.
So think about that. Think about if there's anything in particular.
Okay.
All right, so we're going into... Oh, wait, I got to try this beer.
Yeah, try that beer, and I'll talk about our 2019 movie marathon.
The 2019 movie marathon is where we try to watch as many movies as we can throughout the year, but at least one per day, calendar day.
And I think we should also specify, we're trying to watch movies we've never seen before.
Yeah, they're not repeats. No, that's cheating.
Oh, this is good.
I am finding it a little bit malty.
Yeah.
Well, but it might just be because it's on the heels of the Miller Lite I was drinking before.
Yeah, this is a full-bodied lager.
Yeah.
So anyway, we do our movie marathon check-ins with the hashtag 2019 movie marathon on Twitter.
We do those on Twitter. I do mine under the Cinema Chop Shop handle. And yours are?
A windowless van.
But what's your handle?
My handle is Brewboss Sean.
Oh, okay. All right. So what is going to be your first check-in for this week's
I think we're going to tag team our first check-in. We're going to talk about Glass.
Glass.
This is the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong third entry into the superhero trilogy.
The Unbreakable trilogy.
Yeah.
Also, Glass is not a solid. It's actually a super cooled liquid. And that's why if you go into like old churches, the windows are thicker at the bottom than they are at the top because the glass is slowly, slowly by force of gravity moving down.
Oh, really?
Or I think also it's one of the reasons you're supposed to put your glasses upside down in the cabinet, not only to keep dust out, but also the thicker part of the glass is at the bottom. And you want it to move towards the thinner part.
I don't think you're going to live long enough for that to take effect.
Says you.
And you, no, I don't.
I plan to see the tricentennial, Sean.
I don't buy any of that. So yeah, this was the third entry, following Unbreakable being the first, and the second being, oh crap, what was the name of it? I just watched it.
Split.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The James McAvoy multiple personality. I say it's the Incredible Hulk inspired.
Interesting.
And you kind of see it a little bit. But anyway, yeah. I was disappointed. I was let down. The movie starts out with the action sequence, and then we get to sit through therapy.
Okay.
Superhero therapy for a long stretch.
The third installment was more about... exposition of the origin of these characters. I think especially the Beast, the James McAvoy.
I understand character. That. And, you know, and Anya Taylor-Joy's in it, which is always a plus for me.
Yeah.
But,
and she played a key role in the middle film as well.
She did. Yes. But I don't want to give away any spoilers, but the whole crux of the whole, them being in therapy/prison is I didn't like it. I didn't like the overt comic book references.
But that's the whole point.
I preferred the way they did it in Unbreakable.
Okay.
It was just kind of, you know, Mr. Glass was fanboy. This legitimizes the whole comic book twist.
Mm-hmm.
And that I didn't buy.
Okay. What was your official review?
My official review was, hey, let's do a whole movie about superheroes and therapy. Big letdown.
All right. So my review is perfectly enjoyable conclusion to M. Night Shyamalan's Unbreakable trilogy. James McAvoy's transitions between alters is even more intense than in Split. You get to see it on a much more rapid scale. Not to spoil anything too much, but there is a certain amount of photo light effect, and they use an apparatus on James McAvoy's character in the institution to change his alter when quickly necessary.
Yeah. One thing that bothered me about this, and this is, this was a knock on Shyamalan, they used a lot of mid to long shots.
Okay.
And when you're talking about superheroes, they need to be bigger than life. And once they got outside the facility and they're in the parking lot having their square down, their showdown, the camera's way the hell back.
Square dance.
The camera's way back and they look very small.
But you're also supposed to be seeing it from the point of view of the security cameras, which eventually play a major role in the conclusion of the film.
I guess I see that point, but in terms of them, one of the big arguments was early on in the film is you're not really superheroes. You guys have a mental disorder.
Right.
And so to see them that far away and that small made you feel like, well, maybe that, you know, they aren't super at all. Yet they're obviously exhibiting their superpowers in that scene. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was an odd time to choose to be so far back. And I do take your
interesting
point. So anyway,
I also liked the kind of throwaway introduction of this weird society, the people with the black club sign tattoo. The
clovers,
Black clover tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think there's going to be any more of these movies.
I wonder if that's going to show up.
Intended to be just a trilogy.
Yeah, I wonder if that is something he plans on using later.
It's possible.
To tie universes together.
It's pretty cool. All right, so next up, I guess you go with your next one since we both have the same one.
Sure. I watched Us, finally.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed it, but I did not get the satisfaction that I did when I watched Get Out.
Yeah.
However, I do find myself thinking about the movie a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that's always a good sign, I think. Even if you didn't like on the surface enjoy it while watching, if it makes you think about it later and like even days later, then it had an effect on you.
Yeah, there were elements about it. However, I did figure out the twist from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm not the type of person that goes into a movie trying to figure out a twist.
Gotcha.
I like to get sucked into
the drama, the narrative.
The fiction of it all, you know. And so for me to figure it out right away, I was like, ooh, I might not enjoy this. But as I said, I find myself thinking about it.
Interesting. I really did like Us, and I've talked about it before. But I also concede that I would really like to watch it a second time because I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I was so enthralled with the moment that there's some things that I missed, and I would like to give it a second viewing. All right, so my next one is going to be movie number 91, and it's called A Vigilante. A Vigilante. In this, Olivia Wilde plays a domestic abuse victim who takes it upon herself to save other victims by taking out their abusers. The antagonist is super scary, even in limited screen time. And by the antagonist, I mean her abuser shows back up. One of the more out-of-type performances I've seen from Olivia Wilde. She's obviously a very beautiful woman. She's done some strong performances, but this is a really intense, gritty performance from her. Super. So it's a recommend.
Cool. I'll have to check that out. I've cracked open our second beer. As I mentioned, this being the beer that my lovely wife Allison brought back.
Drank.
This one's called Sedentary Reverence.
Oh.
This is an Imperial Stout aged with... cacao nibs, vanilla beans, ancho chili peppers, and Ceylon cinnamon.
Oh, what is Ceylon cinnamon?
I don't know, just cinnamon.
I've got a cousin named Jared Michael Cinnamon. He's awesome. Regular listener, too.
His last name is Cinnamon?
His real last name is Cinnamon. His dad was Bob Cinnamon. His name is Jared Michael Cinnamon. It's real.
Cool. Awesome. So my last check-in for the week will be Creed 2.
Okay.
I watched this at the recommendation of Rick from last week.
He did a good job.
He did a great job.
I was proud of Rick.
Considering he had about 24 hours notice, he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I found it to be a passable film, entertaining enough. However, I thought that there should have been an exploration of Drago's son's character.
Okay.
There were a lot of shots of him just kind of staring either blankly at his dad or hurtful or just sad, you know.
And so was the actor actually Russian?
I don't know.
I haven't seen
it. I don't know if he was or not.
Okay.
But I think that an exploration of his motives and his inner conflict, the effects of his father's specter of failure that they've had to live with their whole lives would have made a much better story. And the whole fight with Creed was just kind of incidental. And I don't know, the whole time I was watching, I was like, you know, are we supposed
to... This could have been done differently.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Rocky IV, as far-fetched as it was, I mean, you were totally behind Rocky and America, and we were fighting those evil Russians, you know? And this, it didn't hold the same weight to me.
I wonder if that has anything to do with current affairs.
Possibly.
And how issues with the Russians are taken a little bit more lightly these days.
I don't know, but I just thought that there was an opportunity to make a much more interesting film, especially considering Creed, the first one,
right,
was a very thoughtful film exploring the relationship of Creed with his deceased father, with Rocky, his place in life. You know, there were a lot of really cool story elements in that film.
And Sylvester Stallone's Rocky character kind of takes on the Mickey role in Creed. And Michael B. Jordan, of course, playing Adonis Creed, the son of Apollo Creed, originally portrayed by...
Carl Weathers.
All right, so I've got one more, right?
Go for it.
The last one that I'm going to check in is number 96. It's my most recent movie that I've seen. It is a documentary called Tear the Roof Off, or as I typoed on Twitter, Year the Roof Off. The untold story of Parliament Funkadelic. And it really is a kind of comprehensive breakdown of how that band or bands came to be. Some people don't know that George Clinton was kind of a commercial, he had a certain amount of commercial flair in that he started multiple bands with the same members under different labels and different names.
Yep.
But also, he pretty much fucked over everybody who he came into contact with, which is why my review says, man, George Clinton was kind of a bastard. So, like, people were not getting their royalties. They were not getting their subsidiaries. They were tricked into signing contracts. Young women were brought in to the group on the surface to be backup singers and singers, but really just there as like fuck targets. And it really demystifies the whole Parliament Funkadelic mystique.
I'll never watch PCU the same way again.
Right?
So how does Bootsy Collins figure into the documentary?
Bootsy Collins is a figure in the documentary. They talk about the first album that he was on, and he is not the antagonist of the documentary.
Let me he shouldn't be. Bootsy's great.
Bootsy's awesome. Sly Stone, though, pretty bad influence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So in the documentary, they reveal that Sly Stone taught George Clinton how to make free bass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is this on a accessible streaming
source?
Oh,
yeah. It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay. I'll have to check
and
that out.
And clocks in at a really doable 63 minutes.
Oh, I love it. I'm on board. I'm going to get back on track with my check-ins.
There you go. All right. So will that do it for the 2019 movie marathon? Have we each done three?
I think so. What do you think about the beer?
Oh, I like it.
It's very.
I like it better than the other one.
It's very chocolatey. First drink, I thought the ancho chili was overpowering, but now that I've had three sips of it.
I think it's more mellow than, say, like a Mexican cake.
It's very mellow. Yeah.
Hunapu.
There's no hard spiciness to it.
I think that it's interesting that we had to rapidly chill the lager, but rapidly warm the stout. It's very interesting. All right, so we're done with the movie marathon.
Yes.
And we're moving it into The Recast Continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Redux.
All right, so this is the second part of our main feature segment where we hypothetically, not in real life, we don't have that kind of cred, we hypothetically recast the main roles in another James Garner movie. What if it was just James Garner Chop Shop?
I think it would get old real quick, and we would have about a tenth of the listeners that
we
do already.
He only had 50 movies, too. Yeah. So we've got The Pink Jungle from 1968.
That's what she said.
The Pink Jungle. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, it figures into the film.
Because one of the characters is a model, and she's modeling lipsticks, and one of the names of the lipsticks is Pink Jungle.
Yes. And it comes up a second time, but we can't give away that spoiler.
Okay. All right, so The Pink Jungle from 1968, directed by Delbert Mann. He directed Marty, he directed Separate Tables, and That Touch of Mink.
Okay.
It has no score on Rotten Tomatoes. It's an NA. And let's give us a breakdown.
Sure. James Garner plays, what's his character's name?
Ben Morris.
Ben Morris. He plays a photographer.
Mm-hmm. A fashion photographer.
Fashion photographer who is going to meet up with Eva Renzi, who's the actress portraying the role of Allison Duguane.
Duguane. We're going to say Duguane.
She's a model, and so he has to rendezvous.
She's gorgeous.
He has to rendezvous with her for this photo shoot, and she is gorgeous. She reminds me of Heidi Klum in a way. She's a she's a German actress. And they set out for their little photo shoot, and then things kind of go sideways, and it turns into a diamond caper.
I'm not drinking fucking Merlot. Oh, not that kind of sideways?
Not that sideways. Okay. But it turns into a diamond caper, and they run into their partner, acquaintance.
Soon to be co-conspirator.
Yeah, there you go. Sammy Riderbite, played by George Kennedy, who's great.
I love my recast of George Kennedy in this.
I like mine, but it's not the same. He's just not the same. Yeah. George Kennedy, of course, famous for his role in Cool Hand Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Very big guy, personality.
Larger than life personality.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And this is I found this to be a really charming film. I liked it.
Yeah.
Had I never heard of it. And I don't know. It's kind of an interesting little unique film in this genre of capers and people who have no business being grouped together in a party, you know?
Yeah. So it's billed as an adventure comedy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the approach that I took, except I'm going to make mine even more comedic.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and get into the recast. First up, we've got the role of Ben Morris, the on the surface, a fashion photographer who is in South America to meet up with a German model.
Is it South America? Yeah, it is South America. I'm sorry, I said Africa. You're right.
To shoot her for a lipstick ad.
And that's played by James Garner.
James Garner, who
40
was
years
40,
old.
Yep. 40 at the time. And you're going first on your recast this time.
Okay, okay. So, and jumping right in on it then.
Yep.
Since we're talking about a diamond caper and it turns into a bit of an adventure out in the wilds, I went with an actor who has done this in a video game role.
Oh.
He is a bit older than Garner's 40. He is 48.
Okay.
He's Canadian.
Andrew!
But he has been in some... I can't read these without giving away who it is. But I'll tell you the video game franchise. It's... it is...
You know I won't know based on the video game.
I know, but the listener will. It is Uncharted is the series.
Okay.
He plays the character Nathan Drake.
Okay, I've seen the commercials for this.
He is an adventurer. And anyway, I'm talking about Captain Maul. I'm talking about Richard Castle. I'm talking about Nathan Fillion.
Oh, Nathan Fillion is great. He would be great in this. Yeah, and he does have that kind of robust adventurer quality. Much like the TV show Firefly.
Yeah.
His character was pretty much Han Solo.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've ever seen the Uncharted series, it plays right into this
plot. So he does the voice of the character in Uncharted?
Not just the voice, but it was
also based on him.
The face modeling is very much, you're watching Philly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Captain Hammer.
Yes.
The hammer is his
Captain
penis.
Captain Hammer's Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, The Hammer is My Penis.
Nice. All right. So, like I said, I'm going to make this a little bit more comedic. And the actor that I chose is going to be more passable as somebody who is ostensibly a fashion photographer. Okay? So think in mind of an actor who... could possibly go on a adventure.
Okay.
Maybe there's going to be some fumbles and some foils along the way.
Okay.
But it's going to be more funny than if it was James Garner.
Okay.
And my actor's name, well, I'll tell you what he's been in. He's in Herbie Fully Loaded. He's also in The Sasquatch Gang.
Okay. Okay.
And he's in Idiocracy.
Okay.
As Dr. Lexus. His name is Justin Long.
Excellent.
Justin Long is going to be my Ben Morris.
I love it.
Yeah. All right, next up.
Oh, yes.
We've got the role of Allison Duguane. She's played by the lovely Eva Renzi, who was a German model / actress. And she was 24 at the time. What else do we need to say about her character?
Surprisingly practical in the wild.
Okay.
I think she was... originally, you were thinking, oh, great, this is going to be one of these very fragile models who's out of fish out of water kind of stories. Yeah. And I think that she was up to the challenge, and that was kind of refreshing for a film of this kind.
Especially from the time, too.
It was late 60s, so I think that there was probably some women's
a little bit of
mixed into it. So I really liked her part.
Very cool. All right, give us your recast.
Okay, so I wanted to also pick someone who had done modeling.
Okay.
I wanted a German as well, but I couldn't find one, so I settled on an American-English actress, and she is 25.
Okay.
And she was in Miss Potter back in 06. She was in Copperhead.
Is that about Harry Potter's wife?
No. She was in that most recent Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay, I've seen that.
She was in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
I loved her in the film Sing Street.
Yes.
And she was also in the film Apostle. Remember Apostle?
Yeah, 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 the Netflix movie.
Very violent. She played the daughter. She was a ginger in that, but she's a brunette. Lucy Boynton.
I do not know her.
Yeah, you've seen all the movies that she's been in, and if you go back and rewatch them, you'll see her and notice her. Yeah, she's very good.
Boynton?
Boynton.
Boynton. Okay. Cool, cool, cool. I also wanted to go with an actress / model who was German, and I threw a little bit of face value in this. This is going to be the one kind of outlier in the recast who's not a comedic actress or actor, but she's been in movies called Little 13, The Same Sky, and Gaming Instinct. She's 25 now, and her name is Muriel Wimmer.
Muriel Wimmer.
Muriel Wimmer, and I'm just going to turn that towards you a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Put on your glasses, see how gorgeous she is.
I'm not familiar with her.
No, nobody is. Okay. Nobody is. She's pretty much unknown. Yeah. So she's going to be the kind of, she's going to basically play the straight man to the comedic characters of Ben and Sammy.
I like it. I like it a lot.
All right. So next up, we've got the aforementioned Sammy. This is my favorite one of this recast.
Right. Sammy, let's see. What can we say about Sammy, the role?
He's a hustler.
Yes.
He is willing to do whatever it takes. He's very Machiavellian. He probably always has a trick up his sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else?
I think that they actually make a line, James Garner and the actress, they're talking about him while he's sleeping, and they're like, well, you know him, he'll shoot you and then ask you out for a drink later.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of guy he is. Good, he's a scoundrel, assessment of his true character. Scoundrel.
Yes. All right. So George Kennedy was 43 at the time as Sammy Riderbelt, Riderbeat, Riderbite.
Riderbite.
What is your recast?
All right. So I went with someone who is 47 years old.
Okay.
And I wanted somebody that had the swagger of George Kennedy, although I did not quite find anyone I like that had the bombastic, bigger than life quality. Mm-hmm. But this guy has played some larger than life characters. He's been in the Lord of the Rings.
Hmm.
He's been in
Elijah Wood.
No, he is not. He was in the short-lived TV series Almost Human.
Sean Astin.
No, he was also in the Star Trek reboot, as well as the Judge Dredd reboot.
Ian McKellen.
Carl Urban.
Oh, yeah, Carl Urban. He's Dredd in Dredd.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
He's got the swagger, and I think he and Nathan Fillion paired together would be kind of cool. Yeah,
that would be good. That would be good. There would be some extra element of conflict between
them. Well, I could see the two of them competing for the attention of the leading lady as well.
Mm-hmm. I like it. All right, so hold on to your butts.
All right, I'm ready.
This actor, who I didn't write down his age, but he's right around the same age, early to mid-40s.
Okay.
And he's been in movies like Drill Bit Taylor.
Oh, God.
He's been in Observe and Report.
Oh, God.
He's also in a movie with James Franco called Your Highness.
Oh, no.
I'm going with Danny McBride. Danny McBride is going to be the Sammy Riderbeat character.
Love it. And
it's perfect.
I love the picture you put up there, too.
The picture is from the fake Dundee
War
movie that he was doing that was actually just a advertisement
like a TV campaign. Yeah.
Tour Australia.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's going to be my my con man / Machiavellian.
I love it.
Yeah. I think he's going to be perfect.
I'm incidentally heading to Charleston tomorrow into his stomping grounds.
Very nice.
I'll be sure to look for some of his leftovers.
Very cool. And you know, he's listening right now, so he probably appreciates
it. I fucking love that. That's a great pick. What a way to close it out.
All right. So anything else we need to say about The Pink Jungle?
If you can find it, check it out. It's a cute movie.
This is also what I call the dating scene.
I would call it a recommend. It's cool.
The Pink Jungle.
The Pink Jungle.
I'm going to recommend it too. I enjoyed it. Even though I guess I can say the version that we watched was ripped from a VHS taped off of television.
Oh my God.
It was the best quality we could come by.
Yeah. And there was a lot of hissing.
Yes. All right. So, are you ready for our final bonus segment?
This is a surprise to me, everybody.
Yes. This is going to be a battle royale this week. So just for the listeners, this scenario involves three figures who are hypothetically at odds with one another.
In their prime.
And they are about to embark on a battle to the death.
Okay.
Okay. So in this battle royale, of course, we have James Garner.
Okay.
Versus Jennifer Garner and the Constant Gardener. AKA Ralph Fiennes as the Constant Gardener.
Oh, man.
So, being that you just heard about this, go ahead and give me your...
Oh, give me no preparation. Yeah. I love it.
James Garner, Jennifer Garner, and the Constant Gardener. Also, we can throw in a fourth one, a garter belt.
Oh, man. I just, oh, God. While I am tempted to go with Ralph Fiennes because he was not to be named.
Mm-hmm.
He can employ some magical spells. I have to go with Jennifer Garner, as we said, at the height of her powers.
Which was Alias?
Alias.
Nice.
She was a lethal killing machine. And I don't care what kind of trickery James Garner could employ from dealing under the, you know, from the bottom of the deck.
Yeah.
I just got to go with Jennifer Garner in her prime with Alias.
Dealing from the bottom of the deck comes into play in Murphy's Romance.
Yes, it does.
Very interesting. Also, a reference to poker, which in turn alludes to Maverick.
Traverick.
All right. Respect your local Sean's. And also, the shootout at Menachon Bend. Okay, so I'm going with the Constant Gardener.
Okay.
Just because it's absurd. And also, wasn't he really a spy in that movie?
Yeah,
wasn't he like a secret agent type of guy? I think so. And so he's going to outwit both Jennifer Garner and James Garner. And he's going to take home the kitty.
I love it.
All right. So with that, we're going to wrap up the episode. And we should say thank you to the guests. Hillary, thank you for
not showing up,
being here in spirit. And of course, she would plug Hildo's Dildos.
Yes, it's a thriving toy store.
Hildosdildos.com. We also want to plug the podcast itself. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever sort of podcatcher or listening device that you happen to be hearing us on. We're also hosted natively on podbean.com. We're Cinema Chop Shop on there. And we are on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at Cinema Chop Shop. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/CinemaChopShop. And then our email address, which we
check all the time.
Like pretty much obsessively.
Yeah, I just hit refresh.
CinemaChopShop@gmail.com. Also, the beers that we checked in today, those will be checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we're Cinema Chop Shop on there as well. Thank you to you, Sean, the engineer, the co-producer extraordinaire. What do you want to plug?
Oh, I got plugs this time.
Do it.
I have a retroactive plug.
Okay.
For last week, I failed to mention, buried the lead, if you will. My lovely wife, Allie, got a promotion.
Yes, she did.
She has been named the assistant provost at Francis Marion University.
Very nice.
So I'm very proud of her for this big promotion, and she's catapulted herself right into the crosshairs.
And a new chapter in her career.
I think so, yeah.
It's very cool.
It's a very different role from being a professor, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm remiss to not know the intricacies of this, but when you are named assistant provost, do you no longer teach classes?
She will teach in a lighter load.
A limited role.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Because, yes. I mean, there's a lot of responsibilities that go along with that.
But
and what else do you want to plug?
The big plug will be Seminar Brewing's 5th anniversary.
What?
On April 20th, that is 4/20, we will be having a 5th anniversary celebration at the brewery at 551 West Lucas in Florence, South Carolina. We will be serving beer at half price.
Half price beer.
Plus a very special release called The Wood Show.
The Wood Show.
It's a New England IPA that's going to be super dank.
I'm pretty sure I referenced the wood show last week's episode.
You might have. It will be infused with hemp oil, and then we will have 420 munchies on our menu. It won't be the regular menu. It'll be a 420 munchie menu, and then I believe that you have carefully curated a 420 playlist.
I have. And in addition, various other surprises.
Yes, we've got some surprises along the way. It's going to be fun. So if anybody's in the vicinity, please check
it out. If you are a fan of Seminar, if you're a fan of craft beer, if you're a fan of the date April 20th, come on out to Seminar Brewing, seminarbrewing.com. All right. And what is next week's episode?
Oh, it's the James Cameron episode.
And we teased it a little bit earlier, but the Googe.
Yeah, Googe is going to be with us.
He and I are going to go to a bluegrass festival a little bit later in the weekend, but he's going to come on the show and he's going to offer his opinions on recasting some roles in some classic James Cameron movies.
Yeah, one of them I don't think I've seen, or if I have, I don't remember seeing it.
Okay.
So I'm excited to do this as well.
Nice. And the reason we're doing James Cameron is because the
Kerplunk date coincides with the sinking of the Titanic.
Very good. I love it. All right. And then finally, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in on your radios.
And radios.
Please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit.
Tip your Hillaries.